This is The Best of Our Knowledge, a presentation of National Productions.
A group of major employers in the U.S. have gotten together to provide their employees with a free path to further their education. And we're not talking about technical education or master's degrees.
This is really the first time that a group of national employers have sort of banded together and said, let's really focus on getting our employees who don't have a high school diploma a GED credential.
Today on The Best of Our Knowledge, we'll learn about GED Works, a new program that helps employees finally get their high school equivalency. We'll also hear how many school districts in New York State are looking to opt out of new teacher evaluation standards, find out about enriching the education of young people in paradise, and spend an academic minute studying the sturdiest part of a turtle. I'm Bob Barrett, and this is The Best of Our Knowledge. Four companies that employ an awful lot of people in the U.S. have partnered with GED Testing Service. That's the company that creates and administers the GED exam to create a new program called GED Works. It's a comprehensive benefit program free for employees who want to earn their high school equivalency certificate. The GED Works program includes everything an employee needs to successfully prepare for and pass the GED test. C.T. Turner is Senior Director of Public Affairs for GED Testing Service. We spoke about the new program and the companies that helped get it started.
The employers actually approached us, and they were very interested in doing something like this. A couple of the employers that approached us first off had said that they had done some similar things, or that they had really done a lot of work in terms of providing scholarships to their employees for post-secondary. But this is really the first time that a group of national employers have sort of banded together and said, let's provide this service, let's really focus on getting our employees who don't have a high school diploma a GED credential.
It's interesting you talk, because we have heard about employers who will pay for college, but this does seem to be the first time that someone will go and help out with a GED.
Absolutely. I think there have been employers in pockets across different locations or in different states that may help a little bit in terms of the fees for the test or reimbursement or something along the lines. But this program's pretty different because it really is all-inclusive. And the employers were very specific about that from the beginning. They wanted something that wasn't just going to be a reimbursement or to help with testing fees or anything along these lines. And so it's pretty different in that a student signs up, they have an orientation, they get a skills assessment, they're then connected with an online study tool, or they're connected with an in-person adult education center. They have a GED advisor, which is really important, because that's a person who's checking in with them at least once a week, encouraging them, motivating them, and sort of coaching them along. Then they have access to free GED-ready practice tests, and then they also have access to the actual GED test.
And what companies, give us an example of the companies that are using this.
Sure. So it's Walmart, KFC, Taco Bell, and Southeastern Grocers, which has Bilo, Winn-Dixie, and Harvey supermarkets.
Is this in any one particular part or region of the country, or is it just nationwide?
It's nationwide. All these employers have made it eligible to any of their employees and their stores who meet the eligibility requirements.
How are the employers using this? Is this an incentive to get better workers?
I think it's a great incentive for, you know, two things for the employers. One is I think it helps them recruit employees, tell them that they have access to this type of program, and it's a way for them to, you know, many of them have put their dreams on hold, and this is a way to find an employer who's supportive of them actually studying, going back, and earning that credential that could really change their life and help them achieve that dream. And then I also think it's a good benefit for current employees, also for retention.
And how has the reaction been? How many people have signed up so far?
So this is just getting rolling. We have a few thousand people in the pipeline already. And I think there are, you know, immediately there are at least tens of thousands of adult learners across the country who are employees of these companies that now have access to this benefit.
And on average, how long does it take someone to go from starting this? And again, it's a new program, but starting this to actually getting the GED?
Yeah, that's a great question. It really does vary, unfortunately. It depends on what you come into it with, maybe when your last year of formal schooling was, what your reading level is, what your comfort level is with some of the different skills. You know, some people could put their mind to it, and maybe they've, you know, I talked with someone from, she finished 11th grade, and she is going to sail through the program. It's probably going to take her a couple months. Someone who comes in at a lower reading level, maybe they only finished, you know, eighth grade or something along those lines, it's going to take them a little bit more time. And the amount of time really depends on the time that they spend to pursuing it, dedication to study, and applying themselves.
Are you seeing all ages getting involved in this?
We are, absolutely. One of the test takers, or someone that's involved in the program who signed up, I did an orientation with her, and she's about 8 years out of school, so that's probably about our average GED test taker age, which is in that, you know, 26 range or so. And she had finished 11th grade, was dual enrolled, wants to become a computer engineer. You know, life got in the way. Her mother was diagnosed with cancer. She had to drop out to take care of her mom and to work. And so this was an opportunity now for her to actually go back and achieve that dream. And she has the support of her employee. She has a financial investment in this. And, you know, she's going to do great things.
It's interesting that these are employers who will hire people who do not have a high school education. They're kind of maybe getting employees that'll get, you know, better trained and move on to better things.
I think that's really an interesting point. I think there's a misperception out there. I know that that was out there when I first started working on this issue about 8 years ago, is a lot of people assume that you can't get a job in the U.S. without a high school diploma or a GED. But in fact, a large number of these employers have a good portion of their workforce that actually don't have a high school diploma or GED. And so I think that, again, talks to why this program is so vitally important. I think why employers are interested is because it really is a good, it's a perk, but it's a great investment for these employers to make and really invest in the lives of their learners. And, you know, some of those employees are going to rise through the ranks and they're going to do great things in those companies. And some of those employees are going to go to other career paths. Some of them might go into college training programs and, you know, change the world.
And finally, do you see this expanding to more employers getting involved?
I do. I think there will be more people involved in the program from the employee side, and I think more employers will want to be involved with the program. Absolutely.
You don't see it. There's nobody who's, like, you know, pending to get involved in this.
There has been several people. Yeah, just as this has rolled out, I have had a number of inquiries just this morning. So I know that there will be many employers that will start to be involved in the program.
C.T. Turner is Senior Director of Public Affairs for GED Testing Service. You can learn more at GEDTestingService.com. Almost three-quarters of the school districts in New York State have applied for waivers from the new teacher evaluation rules set by Governor Cuomo and the state legislature in March. The news comes in the middle of a lot of changes, including the leadership of the state Board of Regents. New York State Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
According to the state education department, 420 of the state's over 700 school districts have been granted waivers. That means they can delay implementation of the controversial new teacher and principal evaluation system, which relies more heavily on standardized tests, for another year. 106 applications for a waiver are still pending. 19 school districts were initially denied waivers but have been asked to resubmit their paperwork and may still get permission for a delay. The actions essentially roll back rules pushed by Governor Cuomo and approved by the legislature as part of the state budget in March. Carl Korn, a spokesman for the teachers' union, New York State United Teachers, says the timeline was unrealistic.
The process of designing a new evaluation system was complicated and convoluted and involved many moving parts. So it's no surprise at all that districts and unions began the negotiation process in good faith, but simply ran out of time.
Tim Creamer with the New York State School Boards Association says it's a turning point in what's become a battle between schools, teachers, parents, and New York's elected leaders over standardized testing and its effects.
I think there was some political statement taking place here where people were saying, enough of this. We keep changing the rules, then we got to go negotiate. Change the rules, renegotiate. Change the rules, renegotiate. And I think that there were people saying, you know what? We're tired of this back and forth stuff. Let's take a little bit of time and do this right. And we're going to wait for you guys at the state to finally get this right before we're going to keep trying to renegotiate something that we really don't know if that's going to hold true.
The mass granting of waivers to delay the new teacher rating system comes as political leaders, including President Obama and his Education Secretary Arne Duncan, are shifting away from an emphasis on standardized testing. The President and Secretary Duncan said recently they are dialing back on the number of exams, and they admit the administration helped contribute to the overtesting of students. And the Board of Regents Chancellor Merrill Tisch, who led the push toward greater emphasis on standardized testing, as well as a fast track to adopt the new Common Core learning standards, announced this week, several months before her term is up, that she won't be running again. At the Board of Regents monthly meeting, Tisch addressed critics who say she botched the rollout of Common Core.
Some even say it was implemented poorly. I say we disrupted stagnation. We disrupted complacency, and we tried to imbue the system with urgency.
Governor Cuomo, who championed the new teacher evaluation system and who has feuded publicly with teachers and their union, has also taken a step back. He created a new commission to reevaluate Common Core.
We must fix it, and we must fix it now.
Cuomo also appointed a new deputy secretary for education, a school superintendent from Westchester who is a Common Core critic. Corn with the teachers' union says a widespread boycott of the standardized tests last spring, where 20% of parents opted their children out of the exams, has also fueled the changes.
The pendulum on standardized testing is clearly swinging back in the right direction.
Governor Cuomo's commission is due to issue its report in December, and the state's education commissioner is also doing an independent review of Common Core and related issues, so it's possible that the new rules could be reversed. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Still to come, a green island off the coast of Africa is considered paradise, except for the young people who live there. We'll explain next on The Best of Our Knowledge. Got any questions or comments about The Best of Our Knowledge? Send them in. Our email address is knowledge@wamc.org. And if you'd like to listen to this or any past programs again, you can find them online at our flagship station's website. Just go to wamc.org and click on the programs link. And while you're there, subscribe to The Best of Our Knowledge's podcast or download the WAMC radio app to listen on demand anytime, anyplace. This is The Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Bob Barrett. Prinsp is an idyllic island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean off the west coast of Africa. Now, to you, that might sound like paradise, but for the few thousand young people living there, there just isn't all that much to do. There's no university, and until 2 years ago, there wasn't even a high school on the island. Now, Dimitri, a 27-year-old math teacher at a local school and a Portuguese nonprofit, are trying to improve the education system on that island. From DW Radio, Nadia Denise reports.
Prinsp is an island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, just 130 square kilometers and around 7,000 residents. Prinsp, with its glassy blue water, mountain ranges, and abundance of tropical animals, is part of the Democratic Republic of São Tomé and Príncipe, a chain of islands of the west coast of Africa. But life on the island isn't always easy. Take education, for example. Students here have to go to the main island of São Tomé or abroad if they want to go to university. And just 2 years ago, there wasn't even a high school on the island. 27-year-old Dimitri was born and raised in Príncipe. He teaches math at a local school and also works as a topographer. Dimitri devotes part of his life to helping improve the island's educational system. He wants to ensure that young people have every opportunity to succeed. Dimitri joined a Portuguese charity called Sonha Faz e Acontece, which translates to Dream and Make It Happen in English. Sonha Faz e Acontece is a not-for-profit focused on improving education. The charity was founded in 2012 by a group of Portuguese friends after they visited the island. The group had fallen in love with Prinsp, but they soon realized improvements could be made when it came to educational opportunities on the island. They invited Dimitri to take part, and immediately he said yes. Dimitri says he was inspired to help.
I try to help kids and young people in our society so they can feel their life can be different, so that they have a different view of things.
Dimitri is the organization's local representative. His job is to ensure everything is in place for when the other workers arrive to the island.
I am the facilitator because it's one thing to be in Portugal and another thing to be here. And I know a lot of things that are going on the island. I want to make the foreign volunteers feel like they are at home.
If it wasn't for organizations like Sonia Faz e Acontece, kids would have nothing to do when it came to school holidays. Dimitri has a key role in making sure that during the 3 months of summer, children in Príncipe don't just hang around on the streets, but instead are learning while they play. Along with other volunteers, Dimitri promotes a summer school, which he is also in charge of, and reading clubs in several hostels. Since 2012, Dimitri has been helping organize games, dances, theaters, and sports for more than 90 kids who attend the summer camp. This year's camp theme was countries. Dimitri explains that this year's theme is to teach the kids about new cultures and traditions.
During the camp, we try to do activities relating to each country, especially the country's culture, like dances.
Stella is 13 years old and Adamo is 11. They both participated in the summer camp this year and they loved it.
I learned some things about other countries, not only about the country team I was on. I also learned other stuff like dances, culture and history, a lot of things.
The motto of the summer camp should be, we are not here to win, we are here to have fun.
Dimitri says the camp is one of the most important things for the local kids to take part in when they are on summer holidays.
The summer camp is perhaps the one activity that has the biggest impact within the project. This is one thing that, when the time arrives, the kids are ecstatic.
But then, when the summer camp ends,
I saw one of the girls crying, and I realized it was because she was already missing all the friends she had made at the camp. I know the kids really have fun there, and afterwards, when it's time to go back home, they just want to stay.
When the summer camp ends, Dimitri turns to other projects with Sonia Faz e Acontece, but always with one main purpose, to improve education in Príncipe. In the past, he helped to rebuild schools and libraries. In 2013, Dimitri rebuilt the school in Praia Abad, one of the Roças, a community of Príncipe.
We put in windows, we painted it, we gave the space a completely new look. But that was only possible because of the project. Those kids were forgotten, but we turned things around for them. And now learning and teaching at the school is much better.
O ensino e aprendizagem hoje pode-se dizer que tem melhor qualidade.
But despite all his hard work and commitment, when asked about the future, Dimitri's brow becomes furrowed.
Porque ainda falta alguma coisa. Sei lá, nem eu consigo.
Some things are still missing. At the moment, I'm studying. I'm doing my bachelor's in math and physics. I want to be a bit more knowledgeable in the discipline that I would like to teach.
Um pouco mais seguro na disciplina que eu gosto de lecionar.
Dimitri knows that there is still a lot to be done to ensure the island's kids get the education they deserve, and he's going to do his best to make it happen.
Eu sou daquelas pessoas que sou muito apegada à minha terra.
I'm one of those people, I'm very connected to my island. I can leave, but I can't stay away for too long. My goal is to stay here on the island and help. My island needs me.
This is Nadia Diniz for DW, Prince Island, São Tomé and Príncipe.
So what's the hardest and most interesting part of a turtle? Before you answer, take it slow and steady and pay attention to the topic of today's Academic Minute.
A turtle's shell is iconic, but we're not sure how it evolved. I'm Dr. Lynn Pascarella, president of Mount Holyoke College. And today on the Academic Minute, Gabriel Bever, assistant professor of anatomy at the New York Institute of Technology, explains how new fossils are bringing more understanding to how turtles got their turtle power.
The shelled body plan of turtles is not only one of the most iconic evolutionary innovations known to science, but also one of the least understood. The cryptic nature of turtle origins, in part, reflects the absence of what Darwin called intermediate links. Such fossils have proven decisive in connecting other modern groups to their evolutionary past. For example, the dinosaurian origin of birds is clearly evidenced by the mixture of dinosaur and bird features expressed in such famous fossils as Archaeopteryx. Turtles never had their Archaeopteryx. Instead, the oldest known fossil turtles already possess the features that make modern turtles so distinctive, including a shell and jaws without teeth. This is no longer the case. My colleagues and I recently published evidence that a 260 million year old fossil reptile from South Africa, known as Eunotosaurus africanus, is the link to turtles that biologists have been seeking for more than a century. Eunotosaurus lacks a shell in the modern sense, but its wide ribs and circular trunk are harbingers of the turtle shell that would take another 45 million years to have fully evolve. A detailed study using high-resolution CAT scans reveals that the skull of Eunotosaurus not only bears evidence of a close relationship with turtles, but also convincing clues of how turtles are related to other reptiles. Modern lizards and crocodiles possess a pair of openings behind the eyes that allow the jaw muscles to expand during chewing. Modern turtles don't have this configuration, but Eunotosaurus, we have learned from our digital dissections, does. So what does this mean? Well, it means that turtles are a product of the same evolutionary radiation that produced lizards, crocodiles, and even T-Rex, and that in forging this link, Eunotosaurus helped science take an important step towards a better understanding of the tree of life.
That was Gabriel Bever of the New York Institute of Technology. You can find this, other segments, and more information about the professors at academicminute.org.
The Academic Minute is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in partnership with Mount Holyoke College. That's all the time we have for this week's program. If you'd like to listen again, join us online at our flagship station's website. Go to WAMC.org and click on the programs link. While you're there, subscribe to our podcast or any of the other National Productions podcasts. And if you have any questions or comments about the program, send them in. Our email address is knowledge@WAMC.org. I'm Bob Barrett. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of The Best of Our Knowledge.
Bob Barrett is producer of The Best of Our Knowledge. Dr. Alan Chartok is executive producer. The Best of Our Knowledge is a production of WAMC Radio's National Productions, which is solely responsible for its content. Hear more at WAMC.org.